I just want you to know that we miss you. We miss the fellowship. We miss the connection. We miss just seeing your smiling faces. We just truly, truly miss you. And I didn't know how much community meant to me until it was taken away. And so I just want you to know that from the pastoral staff, from the staff, from everyone, we really miss you. And so here we are today in this third installment of our sermon series called Faith Inside Out. And what we're doing, we're taking a slow walk through the book of James. And James is probably one of my favorite books because James and I share something in common in that James just really tells you just like it, as the old folks say, just like it, T.I. is. James doesn't hold any punches. James is a challenger. James is a deep thinker. And so I love the book of James. And so today I will be preaching from the topic of the pitfalls of partiality. James talks to us about the pitfalls of partiality. And I'm just so excited to bring this to you. So if you can, turn to the book of James, the second chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1-4. And as we customarily do, I know that you're not present in the house of the Lord, but I would still say, if you can, please stand as we read God's word. James chapter 2, verses 1-4 reads as such. It says, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a man who is poor and his clothes are not as clean. And you say, you sit here in a good place and you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. We just thank you, God, for this opportunity that we have to stand before these, your people, God, and to proclaim your word. God, I thank you that this word today from the Apostle James falls on the good soils of our heart, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soils of our heart. And God, we pray that because we need, if any sermon today, God, we need this sermon to germinate in our lives. God, I thank you for all that you're going to do in and through this sermon. And God, here I stand, God, and I pray as I always do, God, I ask you to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you've created me for. And so, God, I just thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. You may be seated. There is a clear and present danger facing followers of Jesus Christ. And this clear and present danger is found deep in the DNA of our hearts. It is hidden by some more than others. Some of us should receive an Academy Award for how well we put on our face to cover up what is inculcated deep in our DNA. This clear and present danger that we face today is not a new enemy, but it's one that we've been dealing with for centuries. And here is this danger that faces a visual, verbal follower of Jesus Christ. The danger that I'm speaking of that is deeply inculcated within our DNA is this propensity towards partiality, prejudice, and favoritism. I think that's worth saying again. The danger that is deeply inculcated within our DNA is this propensity that we have toward partiality, toward prejudice, and toward favoritism. In James, James forces us to come face to face with our tendencies to discriminate inside the church. It's been said that at the foot of the cross, everything is equal, but when you come into the church, everything is not equal. James meets us at this intersection of faith and life. And if you really want to understand James 2, we must go back up a couple of verses, and let's read James chapter 1, verse 26. It says this, it says, if anyone thinks of himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion, I didn't say it, James said it, is worthless. He says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. And he gives us this clear description. It says it's to visit orphans and widows in distress. But please don't tear this part out. Please don't take a black highlighter and black this part out. James says this. He says, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And see, if you only focused on the chapters and the verses, sometimes you can miss the thoughts that James is trying to communicate to us. Because see, chapters and verses was brought along after the letters had been written. And so when you see verse 26, now when you read when you read chapter 2, verse 1, now it illuminates it, because James is giving instruction. He says, now, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. And as I kept reading this verse 26 and 27 over and over again, James starts out and he says this. He says, and keep oneself unstained by the world. And as I was taught in Bible college, and shout out to Southern Bible Institute and college, to all of my professors that helped instill this in me, they told me that find the verb and you'll find the action. And the verb in verse 27 is this: it's to keep oneself. And when you look up the word verb, I mean, when you look up the word keep, you see that it's a verb, and it says to continue or to cause to continue in a specified condition, position, or course. I like how James starts out, how chapter 2, verse 1 starts out, because James is clearly giving us this picture that we need to keep ourselves unstained. And one of the ways that we keep ourselves unstained from this world is that we can't hold faith in Christ and partiality together. He says it just does not fit. James is showing us that one of the pitfalls of partiality is that it contradicts Christ. This reminds me of when I was a kid. One of my favorite TV shows to watch, I know I'm showing my age, but I used to watch Sesame Street. And Sesame Street had this way of communicating valuable principles that hopefully would stick with children. And one of the songs that they used to sing on Sesame Street is this. It says, one of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. Can you tell which thing is not like the other by the time I finish this song? And see, James is telling us clearly in this text, he says, it's something that is not like the other. He says, one of these things don't go together. He's saying partiality and Christ don't go together, that they contradict each other. And so how can you name the name of Christ and then show partiality over here? One of these things don't fit. One of these things don't look like the other. James answered the question that Sesame Street posed to us as children, and he's telling us now, he says, one of these things don't look like the other. Because why? Because Christ came to tear down differences. And how are you, in all of your glory that you have, how are you going to try to build back up what Christ came to tear down? Christ came to tear down the differences between Jews and Gentiles, Greeks and non-Greeks, black and white, male and female. Yes, Jesus Christ came to tear those things down. And how can you, I love that song that we just sang when it talked about the glory of God. How is that going to bring glory to our wonderful Christ if you are going to show partiality? Partiality contradicts faith in Christ. There's no way around it. No matter how you try to rationalize it, no matter how you try to sugarcoat it, all partiality that causes you to point out a difference, to distinguish a difference in someone else, and then to judge them on that is contradictory to what Christ bled, hung, and died on the cross for. Partiality contradicts faith in Christ, but it also does something else. It leads us to distinctions and divisions. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, have you not made distinctions among yourselves? Have you not made, when you show differences between rich and poor, and please let me pause right here and tell you, don't just read this and think that James is only giving us a test or an illustration of just rich versus poor. James is giving us an illustration. He's given the first church a test about distinctions. Any distinctions, I don't care if it's riches or if it's race, it's still wrong. And if you keep on, I'm going to show you clearly in God's word what partiality is. Just stay with me. Don't click off Facebook. Don't click off yet. Don't click off. I got something else that I need to share with you that I want you to take with you today. And when you look at this definition of distinction, the definition of distinction is this. It says to act of perceiving someone or something as being not the same and often treating as separate or different. One of the things that I also learned at Southern Bible Institute in college is that I came face to face, as I was studying God's word, I came face to face with a harsh reality that even within the church, there's all of these distinctions and differences and divisions. I remember clearly I asked my professor, I said, he was telling me about, he was going over, talking to us about the tulip. And he was describing the tulip and the 5 points of Calvinism. And I clearly remember to this day raising my hand, as naive as I was. I just raised my hand, and you know, I'm a simple person. I'm from Oak Cliff. I'm just a simple person. So you know, I didn't matriculate through, you know, these higher schools and all of that. So you know, I just raised my hand, and I just had this simple, naive question. And I said, Professor, man, I've been to class 3 or 4 times, and it seems like all I hear is distinctions. Are you a 4-point Calvinist? Are you a 5-point Calvinist? Are you pre-trib? Are you post-trib? Are you Church of Christ? Are you Church of God in Christ? Or are you the Church of God? I'm like, what? Can I just be a Christian? Is it this complicated that I just can't be a Christian? Or is it that I gotta have all of these distinctions to describe who I am? I just cannot say, hey, I follow Jesus Christ, and that's all I have to give, is that I'm a visual, verbal follower of Jesus Christ. Can I just be a Christian? I really, really, really despise distinctions. Somebody asked me, and not in a bad way, but you have, you know, some people that you know, in an attempt to get to know you, and you know, especially when you're bringing different cultures together, you know, someone asked me, so what do I call you? That's a very interesting question. What do you call me? I said, well, my name is Aleem Bakari. And that's really all you need to know. I'm a man who loves God, loves his wife, loves his kids, that's on this journey to grow. But do you want to be called Black, African American? Do you want to be called Asiatic? Do you want to be called a Hebrew Israelite? No. Just call me Aleem. And see, it's these distinctions that has the propensity to divide us. Because when you focus on the distinctions and you don't focus on the commonalities, that's when you start to divide. And so can I just ask this question? These thoughts just come to me. These are just questions. Just bear with me. But can we just be the names that we have? Can we just be J. McFadden? I don't have to describe J. McFadden as my white friend. I don't have to describe Carl as my Black friend. It's just my friend. But it's these distinctions. And if I can ask this question, who is the author of division? Who walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? And you know, you look up that word also has the meaning of to tear apart. Whose objective is it to tear us apart? And whose objective is it to bring us together? I'll let you decide. But I'm going to tell you this. And I'm going to repeat it the way James says it. When you show partiality, when you define more with your political party than you do with the purpose of Christ, I'm telling you, you're going down the wrong road. I don't care which party it is. God is not going to share his glory. This is what James is talking about in verse 1. It's this gloriousness of Christ, because the song just taught us that by him and for him and through him, all things were created. I don't see political parties and racial division in this text. What I see is the glory of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if that's not the connecting point, I'm telling you, you're going down the wrong path. Partiality contradicts faith in Christ. And it leads to distinctions, and it also contradicts the royal law. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says this. It says, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the royal law. You're doing well. James, in his forwardness, says, but if you show partiality, I didn't say this part, so I really wish we could read this part out loud. It says, but if you show partiality, what? You are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. I didn't say it. James said it. Take it up with God and James. I didn't say it. It's a sin. I'm not judging you. The text is judging you. The text says that if you show partiality, if you divide between riches and race, if you divide between liberals and conservatives, if you show any kind of partiality, it is a sin. If you name the name of Jesus Christ. Because here again, remember what I told you in verse 27, the verb, the action is we have to keep ourselves unstained by this world. And the world loves to divide. The world loves to show distinctions and partialities. And if you want to name the name of Christ, I'm telling you, partiality is a sin. And it says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of them all. Thank God for grace. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Can I put some 2020 spin on this? Can I bring this forward to 2020? Because here's the thing, you know, here's the whole issue. Some of us believe that the sin that we're committing, we do admit, yeah, I'm imperfect. I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace, and thank God for grace. But here's where we make the big problem with us. We want to put sin on a scale. Yeah, you might not be committing adultery, but some of the things you do and watch on your phone. See, nobody can see those things. And then we have this tendency to say, well, at least I'm not killing somebody. At least I'm not committing adultery. Oh, you're not, because the Bible says even if you look at another woman, you've committed adultery. But we want to judge people on their sins, but we don't want to look at our sins. We forget. Am I jumping ahead? Yeah, I'm jumping ahead. Hold on, I'm gonna hold that one right there. I'm gonna hold that one. But here's the thing. Sin, all sin is an abomination in the sight of God. And so just because you're not rioting and looting and because you come to church and you give off this appearance that everything is right in your world, but if we peel back the onion on you, because James tells us again, I'm going to keep repeating this, James 1:27, keep oneself unstained by the world. You see, the world wants to keep you pointing the fingers at others and hoping that nobody looks at you. See, if I can keep pointing out, well, you know, if it wasn't for all of them coming over here, I mean, I might could find a job. And you know, you know what they say about that group of folks. Well, if it wasn't for them, this glorious country would be all right. And you know, what about, if any red-blooded American, can I ask you this? What is there any other color of blood? I'm just asking this for a friend. I mean, I don't know. Man, I'm probably not gonna ever be asked to preach again, but that's all right. I'll preach to myself. Partiality contradicts the royal law, because we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. And when you show partiality, here's the other thing that you are doing. Look at verse 12, that we are doing. I'm sorry, that we're doing. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says this. It says, so speak and so act. I love that. That's why I say visual, verbal followers of Jesus Christ, because it's what we say and it's what we do. It says, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. What James is communicating to us here is that, man, we have to remember that we were sinners too. We have to remember that we are not perfect, that if it wasn't by the grace of God, we would still be in the condition that we were in. If it wasn't by the grace of God, we wouldn't be able to live in the community that we currently reside in. If it wasn't for the grace of God, some of us would be in orange jumpsuits. I know that probably don't pertain to you, because I would never do that. Okay, anyway, hush. Some of us, if it wasn't by the grace of God, we wouldn't have the wives that we have. If it wasn't by the grace of God, because I'm going to tell you, some of us are one tragic event away from losing it all. I know you think you matriculated at the right school and you belong to the right clubs and you're in the right party. I'm telling you, you're one incident away from losing it all if it wasn't for the grace of God. But you want to have this attitude of, oh, I would never do that, or, oh, how could they do that? I would never do that. How dare them? Pastor Jay, I'm going to just tell y'all, Pastor Jay asked me to preach this, okay? So if anybody have any issues, you talk to Pastor Jay. No, I'm just kidding. But it says, for judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What James is telling us this is that the Christian alternative to this world is this, is that, man, we got to show mercy. We have to show mercy. I mean, I was just profoundly upset to find out that there's a group of people in this country that really despises the poor. That just blows me away. I'm like, how could you despise the poor? And it was the poor who Christ came to. But when we get so full of ourselves and we want to put ourselves on the throne, kick Christ off the throne, and we want to give ourselves the glory, then that's what happens. Can I tell each of us today, don't lose sight of the grace and mercy that God has shown to you. Because if it wasn't by the grace of God, I'm telling you. I like what John Piper says. I'm a big John Piper fan, and John says this. He says, make the mule of your tongue serve the mercy of your heart. I love that quote. I'm going to say it again. Make the mule of your tongue serve the mercy of your heart. I'm just going to let that sit just right there. And so as I close, if you are really ready, if you take a deep look into who and what causes division is a common enemy that we face. I asked this earlier, whose interest is it is best served by distinctions and divisions? Are we really putting up a fight to keep ourselves unstained by the world that desires to keep us divided? I understand that this world is full of liberals, conservatives, right wings, left wings, rich, poor, black, white, brown. But are we going to keep ourselves unstained by this world to look at what divides us and not what connects us? Because it is this Christ, it is the Christ that we serve that is the connector for all of us. But we have a very present enemy who wants to keep us fighting these external fights when the real fight is on the inside. And see, if I could keep the focus on you and off of me, then I don't have to deal with the internal strife that I'm faced with, that I'm struggling with. And so I'm going to close where I started, James chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to leave you with this. My brothers and sisters, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. I just want to say that if you're here today, if you're listening to us, and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity today, and it's not an opportunity that I have to give. It's of God. But I just want to make you aware of it, that if you're always wrestling in your heart with what others are doing, and you're focusing on differences, and you really get all worked up about other races and the rich versus the poor, and if all of that just causes you to just be unsettled, I ask you to do this. I ask you to take a deep look into your heart. And as you take this deep look into your heart, I want you to look at the mirror of your soul and ask yourself, am I the cause of connecting, or am I the cause of division? Is my life about Christ, or is my life about differences? And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ and what I've talked about today, it really causes you to take a deep look, I really want you to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ today? It's simple, but it's a process. All you have to do is just right there where you are, lift your hands, bow your head, say, God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. God, I ask you to forgive me, God, for the sins that I've committed. God, my life is all wrapped up in pointing out things to about others, God, and hating others and showing differences, God. And God, I want a clean heart. God, I want a fresh start. God, I want a life of peace. And when you confess that and when you believe that in your heart, that God, I'm in need of a Savior. And God, I believe that you died on a cross. You rose on the third day so that I might be free. So God, I just, and right there at that point, you have a new life. You have a fresh start. It's simple, but it's a process. And so now the next step for you is to get into a great church. Get into this church and let us walk with you and show you what this transformation process means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. To not live on the distinctions, but to live on the blood of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this word today. God, I thank you that this word falls on the good soils of our heart, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soils of our heart. God, I thank you, God, that our church needs this, the church, the overall church, God. We need a message like this, God. Because, God, it's division seems to be the common thing of the day, God. But, Lord, we know that you came, God, to unify us, God. That you live in unity, God. That you dwell in love, God. And so, God, I pray that we have the boldness to stand up, God, and no longer declare distinctions, but declare the glory of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.